On the road to the Stanley Cup, the good news is that the San Jose Sharks have a Game 6 this week on Wednesday at home against the St. Louis Blues. The bad news is that Game 5 is tonight in St. Louis, two time zones away from home. These have been some migrating Sharks that have had to play many, many playoff and regular season games with their eternal clocks disrupted by jet lag. Teams looking for an edge of any kind in these infinite playoffs. A few years ago, the San Jose Sharks looked to sleeping habits as a possible hindrance to performance on the ice. Sherry Ma is a sleep research fellow at the Human Performance Center at University of California, San Francisco. Sherry has consulted with the Sharks and the NBA's Golden State Warriors. Also with us is Mike Potenza, the strength and conditioning coach for the San Jose Sharks. Sherry and Mike, you're both awake now, right?
we're both there.
Welcome to The Takeaway. So how does sleep performance have an impact on hockey players who seem like some of the most awake people in the universe, Sherry?
Sure. So we know that sleep is foundational and an essential component of sports performance. And unfortunately, oftentimes it's significantly overlooked and underappreciated. But we are starting to recognize that this particular aspect of their training can have an important component on overall health, wellness, and performance.
Mike Potenza, what is the typical response when you tell one of these NHL players, get your rest now?
I would say years ago, they would have kind of shrugged it off and wouldn't have the respect for, you know, something as minuscule as sleep, you know, and to helping their performance. But now the culture of training in hockey has changed so much that guys are looking for an edge, and they'll take whatever they get, and they feel the effects because we go into every time zone on road trips. We're going back and forth two different time zones, as we did against Nashville as well.
Do you think the Sharks being on the West Coast have a particular disadvantage, sort of like the East Coast teams, where you're playing a lot of games across these time zones?
It may sound crazy, but I think we have an advantage because throughout the whole year, and over the last few years, we're one of the most traveled teams in the National Hockey League. So we travel the most out of any team being in the Pacific and having to go, you know, on a road trip through maybe two, maybe three time zones at a time. The furthest team west for the East Coast teams is Detroit now. So they really don't have to travel across. When there are crossover games, yes, they do, but not as frequently as us.
Man, those East Coast folks, you know, they always get the advantage. So when you know that your players are going to be ragged from some of this travel and time zone disruption, where does it affect the game, do you see?
I think in our starts, you'll see a sluggish group at the start of a game, and then they pretty much can pick it up towards the third period. They'll get a little more acclimated. We don't see it as much in the morning at pregame skate, but once that game starts, their body clocks are on a different time, a time when maybe they're coming off a nap or maybe they're a little bit down-regulated in their normal time zone. And that particularly has to be about the game time in, you know, the new time zone they're in. But also, you know, with multiple games, they'll see some energy in the players start to trickle away or start to go down at the end of a road trip or something like that.
So, Sherry Ma, in terms of clinical research and medicine, what can you do about this and how do you measure it?
Sure. So, some of our studies have particularly looked at the impact of circadian disruption or when teams are crossing over multiple time zones. And it is an important factor to consider for teams that are traveling over, like I said, multiple time zones, because it has been demonstrated to be an important factor on game outcomes, particularly, say, East Coast versus West Coast matchups. And so obviously, through the last couple of years, Mike and I have had discussions around ways in which we can try to look at implementing strategies to minimize the impact of jet lag and hopefully maximize performance.
So, Sherry, is this a new thing in all professional sports trying to deal with this? And it's really a big issue for the NHL and the NBA because their playoffs are not in a neutral venue.
So I think over the last couple of years, there's definitely growing interest in sleep from teams across all the leagues. It's not something that's new. Obviously, teams have had to travel and consider sleep and recovery for years. But I think that there is more peaking interest in this area because many teams recognize they often haven't looked at this as deeply as, say, other components of their training regimens from nutrition or the physical training side.
So what nutritional suggestions or maybe, you know, spa music with the Stanley Cup videos kind of slowly moving on the screen that will put the hockey players to sleep who need to get to sleep?
No, great question. So oftentimes a lot of athletes really haven't gone beyond getting, you know, quote unquote, a good night's rest before a game or an important competition. And there's much more to it. We want to look at optimizing both their sleep duration and their sleep quality. And assessing and monitoring that over a whole season is really what the goal is, rather than looking at trying to optimize their sleep, say, when it heads to playoffs or right before that important game at the end of the season.
Mike Potenza, it is the case that you have the best logo in the universe, correct?
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, but that isn't going to overcome the conditioning issues and the sleep issues. So what's your assessment for game five and game six?
You know, we've been good on the road all year. We haven't been the best team at home, which is very Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde-ish, if you will. But I think through this playoffs, you know, we still have kept up our paces on the road. I think you're going to see, you know, no pun intended, a hungry team, and you're going to see a team that's going to come out with their legs. I like our chances, and I always have liked our group. We're a solid group, a good mix of people, you know, veterans and young players. So,
well, there's a super fan named Isabel on our staff who is rooting for the Sharks. So why don't you just tell them in the locker room to do one for Isabel?
I will. And I know she's from Richmond, so we're gonna do it for Richmond. So.
All right. Sherry Ma and Mike Potenza, thanks so much.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
Sherry Ma, Clinical and Translational Research Fellow at the University of California, San Francisco Human Performance Center, and Mike Potenza, Strength and Conditioning Coach for the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We asked you, how many hours of sleep do you get a night? And when you don't get enough sleep, how does it affect you? South Carolina, about 6 to 7, probably not enough. I just stay up too late reading online and then wake up when my husband wakes up, but he falls asleep a good hour or two before me. I think I'm probably about 5% off my game on a regular basis because I don't get enough sleep.
My name is Mia from Oakland, and when I don't get enough sleep, it doesn't affect me at all. It just makes everybody else intolerable.
8778 My Take is our number. Tweet us at The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.